So this evening, Holy Thursday, we're in the upper room with Jesus. And as I've tried to emphasize the past two Sundays, during this Triduum, or this set of 3 days in which our redemption is accomplished, we should consider ourselves really present at the events that are recounted here in the Gospel. So this evening, in particular, we are in the upper room. And the richness of this liturgy is surpassed probably only by the Easter Vigil itself. There's so much commemorated, and there's so much that is recalled to our mind during this liturgy that it's hard to give a concise, brief homily. But I will. Just didn't want to scare anyone. To start, we have two things in particular that are commemorated, or I should say primarily commemorated. The first is, and the most important thing, is the institution of the Holy Eucharist, which in the other Gospel accounts is said very clearly. But surprisingly, on this day where we commemorate the institution of the Eucharist, the Gospel we hear is from John, who doesn't even have the exact words of institution like Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. However, those words are provided in the second reading, St. Paul to the Corinthians. But nevertheless, there's more to it than our Lord just washing the feet of the apostles. That rite, which you'll see briefly here in a moment, is connected to the institution of the Eucharist. Primarily, it's the institution of another sacrament, the sacrament of holy orders, or the ordination of priests. And the reason that this was symbolized by the washing of feet is because in the temple worship, when the priests were to go offer sacrifices, they would wash their hands and their feet. When the apostles sat down for this Passover that was fulfilled in Christ, they had washed their hands already, and it remained only to wash their feet. And in the other gospel accounts of the Last Supper, you hear our Lord give the command, "Do this in memory of me." It's something, of course, that we repeat at every Mass, "Do this in memory of me." That is a command to offer the sacrifice of the Holy Eucharist. So this washing of feet is a couple things. First, it's obviously a show of our Lord's deep humility, and he himself notes that. He says, "Listen, I am your master and Lord, but I'm kneeling down to wash your feet. How much more should you do that for others?" So that's a lesson for all of us, of course. Last Sunday, Palm Sunday, we had that great hymn from St. Paul to the Philippians, and I mentioned it briefly in the Sunday homily. Said, "Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men." That hymn is commemorated as well at this Last Supper by what our Lord does. He takes off his garments and he lowers himself, like St. Paul talking about him divesting himself of his glory in heaven and humbling himself to become one of us. And then washing their feet, he humbles himself, just like he humbled himself even unto death, death on a cross. Then he gets back up, clothes himself again, and reclines again at table, a symbol of the resurrection and ascension, where he is to sit at the right hand of the Father again in glory. So everything that our Lord does this night is incredibly rich with meaning. He institutes the Holy Eucharist, which is why we end the Mass this evening with a beautiful procession with the Holy Eucharist, before we repose our Lord on Good Friday, where we are deprived of his presence. We are reminded of the priesthood, the institution of the priesthood, which is conferred on us unworthy men just to bring the Eucharist to people. We give thanks to the Lord for those two great sacraments. And then we're reminded of what a true disciple of Christ looks like. It is one who lowers him or herself to serve others, no matter what the cost. Our Lord is the only one who did not need to be humble. God is the only one to whom the virtue of humility does not make sense, and yet he is the one that took on that virtue. The beautiful gesture, lowering himself to wash the feet of his disciples, especially, you know, in that day and age, it's probably pretty gross, right? But this beautiful liturgy is supposed to call to mind not only those things that happened at the Last Supper, but the whole history behind it that is mentioned in the first reading. Think about all of the parallels All of the preparation, and I've mentioned this before too, all of the preparation and the old sacrifices of the old law, but in particular the Passover supper, the Passover sacrifice, the Passover meal, this celebration, this ritual, which if taken out of context seems very strange, but now in retrospect makes a whole lot of sense, that the Israelites were saved from this plague in Egypt, the plague of the death of the firstborn, after the 9 other plagues. They're saved by blood on the lintel of the doorway to their homes, right? This crossbeam above the door. And how much does that call to mind our Lord hanging on the cross and that crossbeam and that sponge full of wine that is a symbol of his blood placed up there with him? And by that blood, we're redeemed. The lamb that is sacrificed and consumed in one household calls to mind the Eucharist, of course, which is consumed in the household of the church, in the unity of faith, in the unity of the church. And even more interestingly, when the lamb was sacrificed and then roasted on a spit, the spit was a cross-shaped spit that the lamb was roasted on. This Passover meal that our Lord was celebrating was different from the traditional Passover. It had many of the elements, but one was missing. There was no sacrificed, roasted paschal lamb for them to consume. And as we know now, very clearly, the lamb was seated at table with them, giving of his own flesh to them under the appearance of bread, giving his own blood under the appearance of wine. The Passover meal, actually, in the school today, we did the Seder meal. We ran through the ritual of the Seder meal while also noting how it related to our Mass. And in the Passover meal, there were 4 cups of wine drank at different parts of the meal. And the 4th cup is conspicuously absent in our Lord's celebration of the Passover meal. After he drinks the 3rd cup, he says to his disciples, "I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until I am with you in my kingdom." And that 4th cup he drinks on the cross, when he drinks the wine, the bitter wine, from the sponge or the hyssop branch. All of this beautiful preparation in the Passover meal comes to life this evening in the upper room. Everything that was foretold comes to life this evening in the upper room. Our Lord provides for his people finally by redeeming them from slavery, not in Egypt, not earthly slavery, but spiritual slavery to sin and death. He frees us from that. He feeds them not with the earthly edible manna in the desert sustaining them, but provides for his people for the first time eternal food and drink, giving us his own life from his body and blood. And in addition to that, he gives us a whole summary of the gospel in his gesture of washing the feet of his apostles. How much more beautiful a gesture could we see from God himself? It wasn't enough for us to marvel at his humility on Christmas when from the glory of heaven he emptied himself of his glory and became a small child. Even more than that, he chose to humble himself on his knees, washing the feet of his apostles, and as we know, days later, humbled himself even more, falling on his face with the cross and our sins on his shoulders. And then he was raised up in a mocking fashion, nailed to the cross. It's as if our Lord is never satisfied with enough of a show of humility and enough of a show of love. And the Last Supper is perhaps one of the most beautiful gestures that we could ever see of the God-man, giving us his body and blood. When we are here at Mass, every Mass, we celebrate our presence in the upper room, our presence at the foot of the cross on Calvary. But also there's an additional thing that we participate in and accompany our Lord in today, not just the washing of the feet, the institution of the priesthood, the institution of the Eucharist, but also accompanying our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, when after the supper is over, he and his disciples, singing a hymn, go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he goes to pray. And he asks the Father to let this cup, this 4th cup that he hasn't yet drank, he asks that it pass from him, the cup of his death and suffering. And he prays, And he asks his apostles to pray with him, and of course they fall asleep. But we participate in that, and we accompany our Lord in the garden by this procession. And we have altars of repose, altars on which, after Mass, we proceed and we bring the Holy Eucharist, and we place him on the altar, and we adore him on an altar adorned to imitate the Garden of Gethsemane. We make up where the apostles failed. We accompany him and console him with our prayers, with our love, as he prepares to take our sins to the cross. More so than any night, we should be conscious of the fact that our Lord feels the pain of our sins tonight. When he is suffering in Gethsemane, his suffering is not physical. His suffering is spiritual, psychological, knowing, as I said before, knowing our sins, knowing each of our sins, knowing each of us, and holding each of us present to his mind, and making a specific and intentional act of the will for each of us, that he would die out of love for us, even if we were the only person in the world that needed redemption. So tonight, when we adore our Lord, not just here at Mass, but when we proceed to our altars of repose and walk with him in the Garden of Gethsemane and pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, let's console him with our thoughts of love. Let's console him with our thoughts of humility and faith and hope and devotion, and thank him for the many gifts that we are reminded of today. The sacrament by which we are brought to the Holy Eucharist, the sacrament of holy orders, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist itself, and an example of his humility and his love for us in the washing of the feet, to which we now proceed.